Hi there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer looking ahead to two great tournaments this week and plenty to look back on. Oh my goodness. Steve, how are you?
Struggling, yeah. This is taking longer than usual. I mean, I didn't even have the strength to get to the pile on yesterday. I just been sort of comatose since Harris English's demise.
We've got four tournaments to look back on. We better start with the aforementioned Harris English in the FedEx St Jude Invitational. Steve tipped him at 45-1 and he had the tournament absolutely at his mercy. But him and Bryson DeChambeau in the final group, I don't know what happened. They both just absolutely fell apart. It was harrowing to watch, it's got to be said. And anyway, it ended up with a three-way playoff between Matsuyama, Burns and Anser. And Abraham Anser, who, Steve, had been getting on leaderboards but not winning so much. He was beginning to become kind of Abraham Fee now, wasn't he? But he held his nerve and got the job done. We'll talk about him in a minute. But Harris English. It's funny, you know, he's won twice this year, but this isn't the first time he's had an absolute meltdown, is he? A few weeks ago, he completely lost the plot on the final stretch, didn't he?
In the Palmetto, yeah. He had a late triple in the Palmetto, but he was very composed in this tournament and he looked the winner all the way. He was 1-5 on the 11th tee. He's trading at 1-5 on the 11th tee. It wasn't a bad shot. He hit on the 11th. He misjudged the wind. I could handle that double bogey. I wasn't that angry with him at that point. And it was the shot on the 14th tee that was so harrowing.
I mean, that was pathetic, wasn't it?
It was. And he was clearly rushed. I mean, he has been, in interviews afterwards, he's been talking about how being put on the clock unsettled him. They got put on the clock very, very early on in that round. And it wasn't Harris English's fault. Harris English is not a slow player. Bryson DeChambeau is a slow player. Bryson DeChambeau has got a rookie caddy who's just been messing about there. Brian Ziegler, he's learning on the job, this caddy. He's messing about doing aim point and stuff. I thought, come on, Ziegler, just get on with it. So I'm pretty angry with Bryson DeChambeau, as you can imagine. I'm pretty angry with Ziegler because Harris English admitted he was rushed on that. He said he's literally running between holes because they were on the clock so early. And then that double bogey essentially finished him off. He's still tied for the lead at that point with a par five to play. So he's still the likely winner if he can compose himself. But you could see he was ruffled. And then the tee shot, he just tugged the tee shot on 16, slightly left. Ewan Murray, I don't know if you had the commentary on, Ewan Murray did my head in on that 16th hole because he was following the shot tracer. And
And the shot tracer had it straight down the middle.
Well, it just looked like it was cutting in. And Ewan Murray goes, he's looking anxious. I don't know why. You know, sort of mocking Harris English for looking anxious. And then, you know, I think Harris English has got a rough idea where his ball's going. It dive bombs into the rough and, making a six on that par five obviously killed him. Yeah, he was five over par for the back nine, lost by a shot.
Absolutely terrible. And I'll tell you what, I mean, you look at him and he just didn't look in control, did he? He's got these funny kind of Wallace and Gromit eyes, hasn't he? Those big starry eyes. And you could just see that he was losing control. But he's not played well. But there has to be some culpability, not just to DeChambeau, but to the people who police slow play, Steve. It's just not on. Because why should him and English be put on the clock when it's not English that's slowing it down? You know, this is where the curse of slow play strikes again, isn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree. You get a really fast player, with a really slow player, the group slow. I mean, yeah, you're right. There's enough money in the game, isn't there, to have officials monitoring the time of both players. It shouldn't be a unified culpability there.
No. Well, I mean, DeChambeau's just an imbecile, isn't he? I can't have him at all. He's just an absolute oaf.
Honestly. But it was a really, really poisonous atmosphere, you know, because if DeChambeau, when things are going wrong, is very downbeat and angry, you know, he's an angry man.
And he's an embarrassment as well. Some of the golf he was playing was clumsy, useless play, wasn't it?
And the gallery obviously piping in with all the Brooks Koepka stuff, which is never going away. Like, you know, apparently he's getting hounded all the way around now. So, yeah, it was a really unsettling group for Harris English. He kept his composure all the way to the 11th tee and then lost it from there. But, we've got to try and stay positive. I mean, honestly, this one's really affected me. But Getting stuck into the Wyndham Championship has perked me up a little bit, because a year ago, remember Siwoo Kim going into the final round of the Wyndham was a couple of shots ahead. I had Sam Horsfield, Siwoo Kim double to pay off the mortgage, didn't I? So it was only a year ago I was very close to paying off the mortgage off Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim finished third in the Wyndham. So just today I've sort of galvanized myself a little bit, knowing that only a year ago in the Wyndham I almost paid off the mortgage. You can turn things around very quickly.
Yeah, exactly. And a quick word on Ansu, who slipped out to 45-1. If anyone kept the faith there, it was a nice payout. Do you think this could pave the way for him to go on and fulfill his potential?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic the way he finished off. A very, very cool customer in the playoff there. You know, I've backed Answer a million times. I thought he was going to win at some point. I didn't have him on my radar for this one. I thought the journey from Japan might have exhausted him. But, you know, he showed it some good strength there. Now, I think Grant Forrest was the one that hurt me the most in terms of missing out last week. We backed Grant Forrest a lot. We backed him a month ago at 150-1 for the Scottish Open. So he's back in Scotland a month later and he wins. So, I was hurting about Grant Forrest.
Yeah, but to be fair, Steve, you hopped off the Callum Hill bandwagon. I mean, if you'd kept the faith with him, and that was almost a Harris-esque collapse, that wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. Around the turn, wasn't it? Yeah, on the 9th and the 10th. Yeah, horrific work on the greens on the 9th and then capitulated on the 10th. Yeah. Yeah, serious question marks about Callum Hill now.
And Forrest was 80-1, so that was a nice payout if anyone got involved there.
Yeah. He was there to be had. Former winner of the St. Andrews Links Trophy. I mean, Nelly Korda was obviously, I should have kept it simple, in the Ladies Olympics, the favourite hosed up there.
Was she, Steve?
About 6-1 she went off.
6-1, okay. So plenty short enough, wasn't she?
Yeah, I thought so. But it obviously would have been lovely to get your multiples off to a great start there. We went into last week with huge amounts of excitement. I mean, if you had the English Haggy Matt Jordan each way treble with the right firms, you still would have had a decent week last week. But
I managed to find, because I'd said on the show, I wonder if any firm has a bet slip that has 18 competitors in, and I did find a couple and I messed about with them and I got a decent payoff of that, so well done. Jordan just got off to a very slow start, didn't he? That was annoying, wasn't he? Bogey the first three holes.
Yeah, bogey starting Sunday in contention, absolute hammer blow, tied for sixth. I had 100 men's trebles last week, but the firm I had my 100 men's trebles with at Jordan five places, so him finishing sixth was a disaster. Yeah, Brandon Haggie finishing fifth there was a useful one. I hope some pundits got some each way gains out of that. It was a decent price, but it's just one of those weeks where you're just so close yet so far.
And never mind. And Haggie in the Barracuda, that was won by the South African beefcake Eric Van Rooyen, wasn't it? What price was he? Is he a beefcake? I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah, most of them are these days, aren't they? They spend so much time.
I don't know about that. Some of them
the gymnasium.
Some of them are still mere slips of lads, aren't they? You couldn't call Colin Morikawa a beefcake, could you?
That's true. No, he's definitely in the beefcake category, Van Rooyen. I remember during lockdown, there was lots of Twitters where he was had his top off doing various yard work. Yeah, he likes getting his top off. But the thing about Eric Van Rooyen, you can't beat yourself up about not having him, because basically the only headlines he's made this year were for smashing up a tee marker at the USPGA. I don't know if you saw that footage. You almost killed Gareth Lord. Lordy almost got a tee marker. Oh, it's great footage. You'll enjoy watching it. In May.
Sorry, who's Gareth Lord?
He was caddying for, he's one of the best caddies out there. He's caddying for Matt Wallace. And Eric Van Rooyen mentally imploded on the 17th tee at the USPGA. Took a full swing at the tee marker, and Lordy had to go. Nearly got blinded. Goodness. Nearly got blinded. Lordy didn't speak to him for the rest of the round. He was furious. But you'd think the Lord would have punished Eric Van Rooyen for that, making him win.
He's rewarded him.
He's rewarded him. He works in mysterious, blooming ways.
He certainly does. Yeah. What price was Van Rooyen?
I think it was 55-1. But I don't regret missing him. I just regret missing Grant Forrest.
Yeah.
Various other things in my life.
Oh, well, look, we've got to move on, Steve. We're all still here. You've got a lovely family, haven't you?
No, it's true. It's true. And the Wyndham last year was almost a mortgage spitter. So let's try and spit on that mortgage this week.
OK. Are there any other players you want to comment on last week, either because they impressed you or didn't impress you?
Yeah, I want to comment on David Law, who looks really settled on the European tour now. Paul Laurie's his sort of mentor. And I think David Law on the right course is a very accurate player. I think he'll go well for the rest of the year. He's already won on the tour, won a low grade event in Australia. So he's the one I like to look at for going forward, as they say in
I hate
management meetings.
Yeah,
management meetings today.
I don't actually. No, I haven't. But if I did, someone would definitely say going forward. I mean, until the only person who can't go forward is Doctor Who with his TARDIS. Everyone else goes forward. So I always, whenever I hear a sentence that includes going forward, I always think, if you replayed that sentence and just didn't say going forward, it would mean exactly the same thing. But
yeah, it's true.
Anyway, let's move forward then, shall we? Let's go forward. We've got two tournaments this week, haven't we? We've got the Wyndham Championship in America, and then we've got the Kazoo Classic. Blimey, Kazoo are sponsoring everything. The Derby, I see their name on all sorts of Premier League shirts. Now they're getting into golf. And they're sponsoring the European Tour event this week, which takes place at the London Golf Club, which is not in London. It's just inside the M25 in Kent. Let's give you some prices before Steve takes us through who he fancies. And Bernd Wiesberger adds a bit of quality to the usual European Tour cast. He's roughly 14-1. Andy Sullivan's 22s, Kawamura's 25s, and then you've got Richard Bland at 25s. Jordan Smith is 28s, Callum Hill's 28s. Vincent Norman is 28s, it's 30-1 bar. So I've played this one, Steve. I played this with Niall Quinn at the Ed Chamberlain Golf Day. And Niall Quinn, let me tell you, is the most incredible golf ball finder you've ever seen. And boy, did me and Paul Keighley test him. It was absolutely ridiculous. But we were sending it into the rough left, right and centre. But honestly, you'd walk into the rough thinking, I'm never going to find this. And Niall Quinn, who smashed it straight down the middle, he's like, no. You go another 2 yards forward, left a bit, and you look down, it's there.
He's very tall, isn't he? He's so tall, he's pretty just looking down on the whole golf course at all times, isn't he?
It's not so much that, I don't think. I mean, yeah, he is tall, but it's not quite that. No, he said that when he started playing golf in Ireland, he only had one ball, so he had to learn to find it. It was just extraordinary. What a lovely man Niall Quinn is. Anyway, that's not going to help us find the winner, but hopefully Steve is. What sort of course have we got, Steve?
We've got a 7,327-yard par 72. It's hosted two European Tour events, the European Open in 2008 and 2009. Ross Fisher ran away with the first one, 20 under par, 1 by 7. Much tougher conditions the following year. Christian Sevier, French plodder, 1 with 7 under par. It's a Jack Nicklaus design, so it bears all the hallmarks of a classic Nicklaus design. Generous fairways, tight targets on approach.
Okay, how many selections?
We got 6, I'm afraid. Nothing shorter than 28-1, though. It's a viable staking plan.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine, Steve. You stake how you stake. You're the expert. Right then, so all big prizes. Who's the main man going to be this week?
The main man is Vincent Norman. Sticking with Vincent Norman, I think he's a superstar in the making. He's only 23, strong stateside college career, got to 4th in the world amateur rankings. His original plan was to get onto the Korn Ferry Tour and work from the Korn Ferry Tour onto the PGA Tour. But he's made such a barnstorming start to his professional career on the European Tour that he's now focused on Europe, trying to get a European Tour card. And I think he's got a good chance of getting it. He was 12th in the Scandinavian Mixed a couple of months ago, 5th in the BMW International Open, 10th in the Kazoo Open, 11th in the ISPS Handa when we were on him. He got a sponsor's invite to this week, and I think he'll love the course. When we backed him for the ISPS, that was even though we thought the courses weren't perfect for him. We thought we had to club down a little bit. This week, he's got 4 par 5s to gun at, generous fairways. He's a powerhouse. He can attack this course. He's refreshed from a week off. He's got perfect weather this week. Sunshine all 4 days, hardly any wind. I think Vincent Norman will blast his way to a maiden European Tour title.
Fantastic. Okay, so Vincent Norman spearheads the 6-strong attack. Who could be the main danger, do you think?
Rasmus Højgaard, 3 years younger than Norman, but already a 2-time European Tour champion. The second of those wins came in England, last year's UK Championship at the Belfry. He's got great form in England. Last year, he was 2nd in the British Masters, 3rd in the English Championship. An English park and track seems to bring out the best in him. His tee to green game is exceptional, really accurate on approach. I think that's the key to success at this course. Accurate approaches, Højgaard deadly with his irons. Mid-division effort in the Olympics last time out was not bad. Yeah, I think a European Tour hat-trick on Sunday is conceivable for Rasmus Højgaard.
Okay, give us the other 4.
Daniel Hillier, sticking with him as well. Loyalty, got to stay loyal to him. I think he's pure class, this lad. Slight concern that he's playing for the 5th week on the spin, but he's only 23 and he's on offer at a massive price. So you've got to take the chance.
What price is he?
70-1 is out there. He was playing well on the Challenge Tour. Then he finished 3rd in the ISPS Handa. Last week, he finished 23rd in the Hero. So he's enjoying this whistle stop tour of the UK. I think it could have the happiest possible ending. Number four selection, Callum Shinquin, Hertfordshire lad. Only lives an hour up the road from the London club. I think he would have played the London club recently a few times to get ready for this. Nice return to form with fourth place in the Kazoo Open, 16th in the Hero Open last week. Missed the cut on the mark in the ISPS. Don't worry about that. Unsuitable tracks. This week's layout looks right up his alley. It's another powerhouse, four par fives. He won the Cyprus Open last year. I think a second tour title for Shinquin is feasible.
And I think he's 55-1, Steve. I don't know if you've seen any bigger out there.
No, that's it. 55-1. And the same prize for Sean Crocker. Maybe we'll see Sean Crocker's breakthrough this week. He turns 25 at the end of this month. One of the best ball strikers on the tour. Struggles with his putting. I think his accurate approach play will count for more than normal this week. The greens are relatively flat and straightforward at this track. So I think Crocker should be able to convert more than he usually does. He creates so many birdie chances. I think this could be the week that Crocker takes his chance. And then the final one, 110-1. I want to take a flyer on this one. It's Matthew Pavon, 28-year-old European Tour maiden. The best performance of his career was third place in the 2017 Scottish Open. He's twice qualified for the US Open through that Walton Heath qualifier that we talked about last week. He's a Frenchman with a good record in the UK. He was 12th in the Scottish Open a month ago. And even though he missed the cut in the Kazoo Open last time out, he was second for strokes gained on approach, which I think is the most important attribute this week. I remember a few years back, Tommy Fleetwood was waxing lyrical about Matthew Pavon. He said he's the next big thing on the European Tour. It hasn't happened yet, but I think Pavon could enjoy himself this week.
It's really important to back M. Pavon rather than A. Pavan, isn't it? Because I think every time I look at you taught me once, you've always got to look at the leaderboard from bottom up, don't you? You think it's the most exciting way of doing it. And every time I do that, and every time I go to the bottom, A. Pavan seems to be at the bottom, so don't back him.
Yeah, such a shame. What's happened to A. Pavan? It's just a
sudden, what has happened to him?
Just a total loss of driving ability. Cannot keep the ball on the planet, as they say.
Oh, my goodness. Now then, I texted you on Monday because I had a look at the prices, and I thought to myself, dang, it's at Wiesberger. He just wins. He's a multiple winner. He's parachuted into this. What's not to like, as they say? So yeah, what is not to like?
Well, I mean, your money's just completely destroyed the price. He's down to 14 to 1. And he's got the Ryder Cup motivation as well. But I found enough players that could beat him. You know, if you can find players to beat the favourite, you don't want to back the favourite. You know,
yeah, but Tim's what the favourite is, doesn't it? If he's 18s, some weeks you can be 18 to 1, you're the 7th favourite. If it's 7-1, it's a different thing, isn't it? I don't know.
It's true. He just has these flat spells with the putter, doesn't he? There's times where he'll just go on a roll of pars and because he just can't get the ball in the hole. So I just, it just wasn't for me. I just found better value alternatives.
But I think wasn't it the Made in Denmark when his putter went cold on him and he just couldn't convert from a good position. Is that right?
Yeah. It just didn't turn me on enough. But
okay.
I hope he turns you on.
Well, he does actually. Yeah.
No, on Sunday. Hope he gives you all you need.
Do you hope that if you don't win, I do?
Yes. I always. Yeah. This is it. Yeah, we always used to say that in the obvious.
We didn't we? Yeah. Even if it was a two-horse race, yeah. We had some times, didn't we? Okay, what about Richard Bland? I suppose he's quite interesting, isn't he? Because, I mean, since he's that incredible win at the Belfry, he's gone and turned in some great performance, and he's back with his old muckers on the European Tour now. I suppose he could figure, couldn't he?
Co-leader at the halfway stage of the US Open. I mean, Blandy's gone up a level this year. Yeah. You don't rule out Blandy anymore, do you? You used to rule out Blandy. But now you have to give him a little bit more respect. But I had too many others this week. I had a very, very long shortlist. Even Oliver Fisher was on the shortlist at 350-1. You know, Oliver Fisher, I think, has shown a little bit of form. He showed a bit of form in the Kazoo. He practices up the Centurion, which is not that far from his. I just had too long a list to get involved in too many of the market principles. I think Vincent Norman is the best of those.
I might go to this. It's only around the corner, isn't it?
I think you should go to this.
Yeah, I should go. I love going to see live golf.
You're not in your usual spot here. Are you on your travels a little bit here?
Just out and about. Yeah, out and about. Yeah, but yeah, yeah. I might well go to the London Golf Club. Okay, let's turn our attention to America now. It's the Wyndham Championship and a high quality field. So Webb Simpson's your favorite. I don't know why people say your favorite. It's just the favorite. It's not my favorite. 12-1. Matsuyama's 14, Zeus Dazen's 18, Patrick Reed 22, Will Zalatoris 25, and then you've got 28 Harmon and Cockrack, 30 Sungjae Im, and 35-1 Bar. So a decent field at the Wyndham Championship. Where's this taking place, Stephen? What sort of track is it?
We're at Sedgefield Country Club, Greensboro, North Carolina, 7,131 yards, par 70. Hosted the Wyndham from 2008 onwards. Usually 20 under par or better wins this. Easy call. Small greens, plenty of runoff areas around the greens. You've got to putt well. You've got to scramble well.
What sort of players tended to win it down the years?
Good putters, good putters. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's such an easy call. You've got to wait. You know, ignore driving distance. Driving accuracy is much more important than driving distance. It's not often we say that. This is an old classic Donald Ross design. You know, for once in our bleeding lives, we can say driving accuracy is more important than driving distance.
So does this mean that you'll be casting aside all these young guns that you always fall for with their beautiful swings and going with some old timers, the old Fred Funks of this world?
Yeah, this is a plodders track. Yeah, you're boring golf wins at Wyndham, wins the Wyndham.
Okay, and how many selections?
I've got five.
Five. Right, okay, then, fire away with your headliner.
Your favourite, your jolly. Your jolly is even worse than your favourite, isn't it? But yeah, I don't see how any serious punter can go into the Wyndham Battle without Webb Simpson on their team to some degree. I mean, you may choose to have him as a stake saver if you don't feel the odds are juicy enough to fully attack. But I think he's worth a proper bet, anything in double figures. I want him as my number one. I want him as in a double with Vincent Norman. I think that's a very attractive double on the two events this week. Simpson adores the Wyndham Championship. His daughter is called Wyndham. You know, he's named
No
after...
way.
Yeah, really? His daughter. Yeah, he named his daughter after the Wyndham. This was his breakthrough victory in 2011. His first PGA Tour win was in the Wyndham. Yeah, the poor girl stuck with that name for the rest of her life.
Imagine he'd won the Travelers Championship or the Kazoo Open or something.
Well, yeah, we often talk about it. The waste management. Yeah,
Yeah,
I think it's a bit silly, really, to name your daughter after. Yeah, because she's stuck with it for the rest of her life. Yeah, Windy Wyndham. But anyway, we'll get by.
I was just thinking about other golfers who've given their children golf-related names. I think Jesper Parnevik's daughter's called Pebble Peach.
Oh, that's
because he won at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, that's it.
We've I used to love him, didn't you, Parnevik? He was brilliant, wasn't he?
Exactly a year ago. I expect we had this discussion about Wyndham. Because Webb Simpson turns up at the Wyndham every year as the man to beat. And he especially so this year. It's not just the victory in 2011. Have a look at this. He was fifth in 2014, sixth in 2015, third in 2017, second in 2018, second in 2019, third in 2020. To say that a second Wyndham title for Simpson has been coming is an understatement.
That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, sometimes you say to me, this is the course and they were 23rd, they're 18th and they're 11th. And I'm like, well, that's not that impressive, but that is mad.
Well, they fully digest this. Only six players in total have beaten him in the last four editions of the Wyndham.
Wow.
His course record's unbelievable. Simpson's only weakness these days is driving distance. Driving distance doesn't matter at Sedgefield. They're all playing from the same spot. And he closed with a 64 at Southwind on Sunday. So he looks like he's found his A game at the perfect time for his favourite event. Yeah, I think Simpson at 12-1 is perfectly fair. I think anything double figures is fair.
You make a compelling case there for Webb Simpson. But there's four others you want on your side. Who else have you got?
I want each way bet on Brian Harman. I think Brian Harman's the biggest threat to Simpson. His short game has been in great condition this year. He's been in the world's top 50, making the quarterfinals of the WGC match play in March. That followed third place at Sawgrass, 12th in the Masters, 8th at Colonial, 5th in the Travellers. He was among the early pace setters in our Open Championship.
He
ended up finishing 19th, but a great effort. He's a perfect fit for the Wyndham. He was 6th in 2019. So, yeah, Harman is your next best.
Okay, and the other three?
Kevin Na, just an underrated golfer. He's a five-time PGA Tour champion. Four of them have come from 2018 onwards. So he started becoming a prolific champion recently. He's peaked in his mid-30s. In the olden days, golfers used to peak in their mid-30s. It's become a young man's game now. But Kevin Na has done it the traditional way. He's matured. He's got better as he's got older. He doesn't hit it far, relies on his short game. His putting's actually been not great this year by his very high standards, but he putted well for second place in the John Deere Classic a month ago, four solid rounds for 23rd place in the WGC last week. That was impressive. His scrambling has been off the charts good this year. Very small greens, as I say, at Sedgefield. I think Nah's scrambling ability counts for bundles. He's had four previous trips to the Wyndham. Miscut 18-10-4. Progressive form figures. I can see that continuing.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one. 45-1, Kevin Nah. Excellent. It's nice to see you going for some of these plodders, Steve, because like I say, normally it's all the young guns, but does it feel weird going for guys like this, you know?
Yeah. You've just got to play the cards when, you know, when the cards are ready to be played.
Absolutely. Okay.
Full of wisdom today.
Right, who else are you going to go for? Zach Johnson?
So we've got two more. No, we haven't got Zach Johnson. We've got Russell Henley, who is based in South Carolina. Short trip up north for him. Three-time PGA Tour champion who's been threatening a fourth for the best part of a year. He even gave it a good go in the US Open. He led the US Open for a long way, finished 13th. Since the US Open, he's finished 19th in the Travelers, 11th in the John Deere. I think the Wyndham is coming at a good time for him. He finished 9th last year, 63-65 at the weekend last year. I see Henley contending seriously this time. And then the final one.
Trying to see what price he is. What price is Henley?
35-1, Henley.
35, okay, fine. Rightio, and finally.
Mackenzie Hughes at 70-1. Lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is a home game for him and a great setup for him to show off his short game class. Hughes is mustered on and around the greens. Never been more confident than he is now. He's been getting on leaderboards in majors. He finished 15th in the US Open in June, 6th in our Open last month. He's just outside the top 50 of the world rankings. I can see a second PGA Tour title for Hughes on Sunday.
Blimey. Okay. Apart from Webb Simpson, there's a lot of big names up at the top of the leaderboard. Was there any others that really caught your eye?
No. This is why I was so excited about the favourite, because the players just below him I don't like at all. I mean, Hideki Matsuyama must be running on empty. You know, he was obviously the centre of attention in the Olympics, contended there, and then jetted straight over for Memphis last week and, you know, lost a playoff there. You know, he must be... I was surprised to see him in this tournament, to be honest. Louis Oosthuizen has just become a nearly man. I don't know why he's entered this.
He's a plodder, isn't he?
Oosthuizen, yeah, well, he's just quality, isn't he? All-round quality now. But how can he get motivated for this? So many near misses in massive tournaments. So, I couldn't get excited about Oosthuizen. He's the only player in the field, actually, who can go top of the FedEx Cup rankings if he wins. They're all jostling for position now. You know, you've got the FedEx Cup players starting next week. Top 125 get in. So the players on the bubble around the top 125. This is a massive, massive week for him. You know, CT Pan was the last name off the shortlist. You know, the bronze medal winner.
Yeah.
He's in 120th position in the FedEx Cup. Yeah, he's 80-1 this week. Yeah, if you want more players, but you can't back them all. I mean, CT Pan could go well. He's finished third in this tournament before.
I suppose the thing with CT Pan there, Steve, is that he's going to be, you know, focusing as much on getting into the FedEx as he is winning. So, you know, a top sort of 12 might do him, mightn't it?
Yeah. I was so close to being seduced by CT Pan, but I just thought, you know, that final round 63 came from nowhere. No pressure, under no pressure. When he just, I don't know. I if you want six, have CT Pan.
I hope he is in consideration so we can see his wife stroke caddy's brim on her visor. If you didn't see it in the Olympics, it's just incredible. It's like half an umbrella sort of attached to the front of her head, isn't it?
Not quite as hot in North Carolina. I don't think she'll need it this week. But I can see Pan going well. But I think, yeah, Simpson's the man to beat. And then the others I've mentioned, I think, can follow him home.
Jolly good. Well, it sounds like you've perked yourself up now, doesn't it? So,
well, yeah, I tried to.
You've got your pecker up.
I've tried to, yeah, just memories of Siwoo Kim. Because remember, I was in Portugal and I was texting you from Portugal and just saying how Siwoo Kim, I come off the plane in Portugal and Siwoo Kim had gone
from first to
third. And it was basically the moment had come for the face spitter. But it's nice to know that it was only a year ago that face spitters were happening. So I do feel we can turn these things around quickly.
Good.
Yeah, there's more important things to worry about. I mean, did you see that report yesterday about the end of the world basically soon, isn't it? Did you see that report? I did see it.
It does worry me, but
shocking.
As you know, our good friend and colleague Paul Keeley is a massive... He's not a climate change denier, but he's a denier of the fact that man causes it. Like, if you play with kills and you dare to suggest that, you know, we shouldn't be sort of using old school aerosols or driving diesel motor cars, he's like, oh, it's all a load of bollocks, he says. You know, the world was... this. He has all these stats. He reads up on it. And so yesterday I was feeling a bit edgy about that report, and I texted Kills and said, is the world going to end? And he goes, no, of course not. It won't, don't worry. So.
Well, I just, with all due respect to Kills, I think there's sort of 14,000 scientists who have unified on this to say that we're in trouble. I put them ahead of him slightly. I mean, it sounds like, yeah, in about 20 years, you can just chuck an egg outside your front door and it'll just fry. Yeah, the frying pan business is in tatters.
Well, that's the least of our worries, isn't it? I haven't got shares in a frying pan business, I'm pleased to say. But
it's so alarming.
The only thing I would say is that since I was at school in like the early 80s, they were saying that, you know, this is going to be it. And I'm not, has the sea level actually risen that much in like 40 years since? I mean,
I haven't noticed it. Whenever I go down the beach, it looks like it's the same. But yeah, that's not the best way to judge these things, is it? You've got to go to the Arctic Circle, haven't you? It's a good way of getting over Harris English blowing the.
Well,
the
that is
June.
True. It does put it all into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like we've all blown everything, doesn't it? Never mind Harris English blowing the St. Jude. We've all blown everything. It's irreversible, and we're all doomed. Stop having children, people. That's what I think. The people are still firing out like 10 kids. What are you doing? There's no room for any more children.
Yeah. Well, look at you, Mr. Virility.
Well, I'm stopping it too. I've chopped my willy off. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just stop having children. We might be able to turn this around. But if people keep spewing out children, we're absolutely fucked.
I don't know about that. Look, give Kiehl's a call. Honestly, he'll assuage your fears. Oh. And there are more elegant, safe ways of sterilising yourself than that as well, Steve. But anyway, on that,
you could have told it's too late.
On that upbeat note, we will hopefully, unless you know, the world is too hot or we've all been submerged, we will be back next week to preview the Czech Masters and the Northern Trust. So do join us for that. Let us know who you fancy. Put your comments in down at the bottom. Give us a like just to cheer Steve up, because and please just steer clear of the thumbs down button. As you can see with Steve, he's not in the mood to handle that. Okay, but do let us know your comments. Do subscribe. Do bet safely, and do join us next week for another Sweet Spot.